Welcome to the Esri and the Science of Wear podcast. Steve Anderson spends a lot of time crossing the U.S., helping cities of all sizes use the mapping and data analysis technology, known as Geographic Information Systems, or GIS, to make operations more efficient. As the Senior Vice President of Technology Enablement with VHB, an engineering company with 32 offices across the country, he's spent years talking to city managers. They say residents want more from their cities, which puts pressure on cities to do more with less. The advantages of using GIS and a geographic approach are becoming clear to many cities. That shift is pushing this proven technology out of the IT department and into a much wider enterprise adoption.
I would say we're seeing a lot of the city managers and mayors actually driving the adoption. It's very senior level people that are looking at things and going, we can make things a lot more efficient now.
Steve Anderson describes to Esri's John Lenihan why GIS, enriched with artificial intelligence, is being embraced by cities of all sizes.
Hi, Steve. Welcome to Esri and the Science Aware podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, Steve, you're with VHB, which is an engineering consulting firm, and you're a senior vice president of technology enablement. In broad strokes, how would you describe what you do?
So what I do is I work with our clients, our internal staff, to really learn how data, AI, and GIS technology will help make their jobs and what they do day-to-day easier.
How would you describe the role of AI in geographic information systems, or GIS, for people unfamiliar with it?
Probably two different ways are the way I like to think about it. The first way, if you think about using GIS technology, it's actually a way that you could look at using an assistant, a way that you could actually talk in plain English, write in plain English, and have it execute tasks for you. So basically make it easier to do things that you don't know how to do. Like, I have a spreadsheet, I want to send that spreadsheet to it and say, map these things for me that are there, and it could actually do that. The other way is to take really complicated tasks inside of GIS, things that you couldn't do before, and actually automate those and use the artificial intelligence to do that. So think about, if you want to map all of your assets, you could actually use it to actually automate that process of extracting the assets from imagery. Something that used to take, you know, weeks, months, years, can now be done in days with using it.
So let's focus this conversation on cities, if we could, for a minute. You work across cities of all sizes. What do you say are some of their top challenges?
Couple things come to mind. Probably the biggest thing I think about with cities is cities now are being asked to just do more with the same resources that they have. A lot of people are retiring in cities, but they're expected to get more done. There's more development going on in cities that are there. So when you think about AI and GIS technology, it actually helps them do more with less and automates the process. So think about if you have permit applications that could be coming in. You could take those permitting applications and look against like the standards that exist, knowing where it's happening, knowing which standard it applies, and you could actually tell it whether it's, you know, tell the user whether or not it's applying or conforming with the standards or the regulations that exist. Yeah, so when you think about the new things, you think about, you know, building permit applications, inspections that were going on. One of the common things we found was during the pandemic, there were a lot of weekend warriors that came in and built decks, built additions, put up pools. They all beautified their houses. They were spending a lot of time. Those weren't necessarily inspected during the pandemic because people couldn't get out and get there. So now you're able to use AI technology and scan an entire municipality and say, can you show me a place where a deck has been built or a new structure has been built where there wasn't a building permit taken out? If a staff person had to do that, they would have to visit 14,000 locations. It's daunting. If you use AI, it could identify maybe those 500 to 700 places where that happened, and then they could actually go there and do it really efficiently.
So the idea of monitoring change in an automated way, and what, you know, monitoring that change, what value does that provide to the city? How do they use that information?
A lot of different ways. One of the common ways I like to think about it is safety related. If you think about drivers on streets, you know, drivers know when to slow down based on signs being there, or know when to stop when they see a stop sign. You can mount a camera onto your garbage trucks, police cars, school buses, they could be looking and seeing that a stop sign has been hit or been removed by somebody. And when they see that, they could create an automatically generated work order, send somebody from Public Works out and replace the stop sign. So it could actually prevent a crash or an accident from happening.
So thinking of geographic artificial intelligence, why do you think GeoAI is central to managing that change on a large scale?
The way I think about that is that they're, in order to manage change, they have to typically have a really good handle on the assets that exist. Mm-hmm. Those assets could be things like all the ADA ramps that exist, and they have to be in conformance to provide safety in that area itself. A lot of places don't have a good inventory of that, or they might have a 10-year-old inventory of it. GeoAI could be used to actually bring that up to current conditions, and then they could submit that for funding to actually make improvements where they know that they need to actually put new ramps in place. It's actually a fantastic tool to use any older data set that you have as the training data set to then be able to find out all those locations where there might be something new has been created or been filled in.
So let's think of those organizations, of those communities that don't have a fancy drone. How do you suggest these agencies assess an area without having access to some of that technology?
It's actually been remarkable with the changes in AI right now that you could use, you know, much less costly technology to do that. There are companies that are rolling out AI technology that runs off of your cell phone.
Okay.
Or you could go to Best Buy and buy a GoPro.
Yep.
And mount that on a vehicle and put it on your dash and drive it around.
The idea of a citizen sensor or...
Yep. Yeah, or even the, you know, citizens taking pictures of things like this sign is damaged or there's graffiti that could be fed in and that could be read from the image with computer vision and automatically generate a work order to go clean that up or replace something that's missing.
Okay, so the citizen takes a picture of a damaged sign. What happens next? What is the city? How do they intake that? What do they do with it? What kind of processes does it kick off for them?
Yeah, so there are a number of different tools that Esri's made available that allow them to do change detection. So if you think if you have a 10-year-old photo and a brand new photo, you could compare those two photos and see what's missing or what has changed. So a sign's damaged, sign's missing, or it's covered with mud or graffiti or something on it. So they could actually very quickly know that that's happened without having to purchase a lot of technology to actually do that. So it's pretty easy to get started.
So it helps them keep track of the city property and other assets. There's got to be more benefits than that. What are some of the others?
Well, probably the biggest benefit revolves around data. Everything we do nowadays, whether it's applying for a grant, getting funding from federal agencies, making sure you're in conformance with that, all is driven by data that needs to be submitted. What GeoAI and AI is really letting you do is improve that process of collecting your data, managing your data, and kind of maintaining that data over time. And it could even do things like write the reports for you, which is pretty amazing nowadays when you could have all the data together and say, give me a first draft of a report, and it could do that and make it so much more efficient.
And those data reports are critical for securing funding, getting grants, you name it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's either for a compliance standpoint that we are doing the things we're supposed to do, or if there are things you want to get funding to make improvements, it's assembling all of that data so you could put it in and say, this is where our deficiencies are to actually get your grant funding.
Okay. So what you've talked about using GeoAI to improve kind of operations, I'm sure it's not as hard to sell for larger cities. You know, they have the assets, they have the funding, they have the people. But for smaller and mid-sized cities, what's the resistance look like to using technology in this way?
What we're finding is when we're working with other people in larger cities that they still don't quite trust it yet. There's this mystery around AI and GeoAI right now because they don't understand how it works. So usually when you have other technical people you're dealing with that haven't yet used it, you need to prove it to them and you need to educate them. When you get to the smaller municipalities and the mid-size, they're the ones that probably have the most benefit out of using this.
Okay.
They're the ones that could be a one-person department, and how do they actually get more done with less when less is one person from that standpoint? So for them, they're actually a little easier to convince on this, but they still, you know, they're inquisitive, so they'll actually ask you, like, how does this work? And you can explain it. So we've been finding education is the key to everything. If you could, you know, everybody hears these fancy terms, deep learning, what is that? If you could actually break it down and explain it to somebody in plain English, and they'll go, okay, now I understand how it works, then they're a lot more willing to adopt it and actually use it. And they also know how to check it and make sure the answers are right.
Interesting. That's not the perspective I would have brought to the table, but hearing you explain it that way, who has maybe the most to gain in the short term?
Yeah, it is interesting. We're seeing that, especially the mid-sized municipalities, a city somewhere in the population of 25 to 75,000 people, you know, seem to be very interested in the technology.
Steve, you're the senior vice president of VHB, but you have 32 offices across the country. What are you hearing from the other offices in terms of, you know, opportunities, challenges, technology that they're seeing and using in their space?
I would say early on with this adoption, we started out hearing a lot of resistance to it. The further west you are in the United States, it seems to be the more rapid it's being adopted, and then kind of moving to the southeastern United States. And I'd say the Northeast is a little bit slower at adopting some of this technology, but it's happening so quickly now that we're seeing it happening everywhere. I would say we're seeing a lot of the city managers and mayors actually driving the adoption. It's very senior level people that are looking at things and going, we can make things a lot more efficient now.
So Steve, the change you're talking about with the adoption and application of AI technology, in a lot of cases, historically, these kinds of changes were grassroots driven by the GIS manager or the GIS users. But in this case, are you seeing that play out, or are you seeing something different in who's driving the use of AI and in exploration of AI in these situations?
Yeah, I'd say this one's been a little bit different. We've actually been seeing more mayors, town managers, you know, director level people actually looking at this technology and almost asking the question, why aren't we using this yet, of the people that are below them. So it's being driven more from the top down, it seems, and we still have innovative people in some of the places, innovative GIS managers that are already doing it. But it does seem to be more of a top-down initiative these days.
In your role at VHB, you really focus on making the use of technology and present use of technology less intimidating, less formidable. What excites you about the next step, the horizon? Because technology will continue to change. You're going to continue to have to get people comfortable with it. What are you seeing on the horizon that you're thinking about?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I've been doing this for probably 40 years now. And if I think back to my 20s, if you had asked me or told me that we were going to be using GIS and artificial intelligence to do the things, I would have told you you were crazy, quite honestly. I never would have expected what we could do today. But what's really exciting now is this pace of change that we're in. I mean, we always talk about technology getting faster, but it's weekly now, it's daily now. Somebody else is coming up with something new that you look at and go, what a great idea. And I really think, you know, some of the challenges, environmental challenges we're up against, climate resiliency challenges we have, this technology is going to let us solve some of those. And I think that, you know, the future is fantastic from that standpoint. It's, you know, when you get to your 60s in life and you're thinking about, well, I don't want to leave now because it is so exciting that we might actually be able to see some of these big problems we've had fixed now.
And being comfortable with adapting to this change, I think we're all getting more comfortable with, you know, being excited about technological changes and embracing those and kind of learning how to apply them more quickly to the problems of the day.
Yeah. I mean, that's what's interesting is we're seeing this stuff put into people's phones. Yeah. So they're just using it day to day anyways, so they don't resist as much because they're expecting that. So when they go to a city or a town, they're like, why aren't you using this? I could do this on my phone. So it's actually kind of pushing them to adopt it even faster too.
Well, Steve, thanks so much for spending a little bit of time with me today. It was a really interesting discussion, and I just appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Esri and the Science of Wear podcast, and thanks to Steve Anderson. If you like this episode, please share it with a colleague.